realize there's a lot in it about suffering, about the end being near, about judgment, and about fiery ordeals. And I don't know about you, but as I've read the news and seen what's been going on in this last week, it feels like we're in that sort of situation ourselves, doesn't it, with all the different problems and things that have been happening over the last week or so. But as we look at the news, as we're in the middle of it, how can we, the church that Peter was writing to, as God's household, live well? How are we meant to act in those situations? Well, verse 8 tells us the answer to that, and that is by loving each other deeply. It says love covers a multitude of sins, and we need to keep loving. Now, when you came in, you were given one of these yellow bits of paper. Those of you that have ever done a marriage course, for some of you that might have been quite a long time ago, or if you've done a course about children, might know that there are five languages of love, different ways that we show love to people, and different ways that we like to receive love. Now, the five languages are just down there on your piece of paper. So the first one is giving gifts. If we love someone, we like to give them gifts. And some people, that's really, really important. They love receiving gifts. For some people, it's being kind and having kindness done to them. That's important for them. For some people, it's physical affection shows that they're loved. For some people, it's spending time talking to them and listening to them. And for some people, it's about giving them quality time together. And I thought it would be interesting to look at those things about how you give and receive love in the context of our service as Christians, as part of the church. Now, some of us, I have to say, I really love words. You know me, I like conversation. Anyone who spends time talking to me, I really value that. I'm not so worried. I do like gifts, but I'm not so worried about gifts. And it's interesting, someone like Anthony loves me spending enough time with him. And if you're married to someone or if you've got children, it's good to know what their love languages or their main love languages so that you can actually show them you love them. And all of us are a bit of a mixture of all of them. So as the church, we can show these different love languages. So if we think about our passage, gift giving, there's not that much mention of gifts there, but there is a lot of mention of hospitality. And I think that is something as the church that we do well, that we can show people God's love through being hospitable. I know lots of you share your homes with people, you invite people round, you come round. You have, of course, coffee break here where you invite people into the church and are hospitable to them. You give them tea and coffee, and also I think what I really like is the gifts that you give people when it's their birthday. That's really important. There's some people who probably come to coffee break who that's one of the few gifts they get. So that's one way that we can show people God's love. The second way is I put their random acts of kindness, and I think that's about being kind to people. Lots of you do things like do someone shopping for them. Take them to the doctors, bring them to church. All those kind, small acts of kindness, but really important acts of kindness. And again, that's a way we can show our brothers and sisters and others in Christ what God's love is about. The next one, affirming touch. And I think I know I was talking to someone quite recently who says she really looks forward to doing the peace when when it's, you know, when it's the peace during communion. And I said, why is that? And she said, do you know, that's the only time anyone ever hugs me, because I've been widowed, that's the only time anyone hugs me. And I thought, isn't that important? Some people, physical touch is really important to them. And as brothers and sisters, we can do that. We can give them a hug or a handshake or whatever is appropriate. No, don't go over the border if people if they're the sort of person that doesn't really like physical touch. But I think that's another way of showing God's love. And then caring conversation, I think, is really important. And in this, in the passage, it talks about everyone speaks, they should do so with the very words of God. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? That sounds like it's someone doing something really important, words. But actually, God's words are words of kindness, words of peace. Every time we have a chat with someone and just show them that they're loved and cared, every time we visit someone and talk to them, those are acts of kindness, and those are kind words. They are God's very words themselves on our lips. And finally, spending enough time with people. Now, we all have exactly the same amount of time in the day, don't we? We all have 24 hours in our day. And I think it's interesting sometimes to think about how much we spend of that on what things. Some of us like to spend quite a lot of it sleeping, I have to say. But there's quite a lot of things you can do. We all could give a bit more of our time to others. It might not be doing anything amazing. It might just be sitting listening to them. It might be going over and visiting them. It might be just not rushing on. You know me, I'm always rushing from one place to another. But I do always, if I see someone in the street, as I have some of you, I do like to try and stop and have a little chat, because I think that's important to show people that they're important, that we've got time for each other. So that's the other way of actually thinking about showing God's love. All really simple things, aren't they? All things that all of you, I'm sure, do all the time. They sound really difficult here, but actually they are things that we can all do all the time. And sometimes it is difficult to do it. That bit that says, where are we? So, be faithful stewards of God's grace. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. And I think God does provide the strength. And we do that because we know, if you can see that down the bottom here, what does it say as you look, read that down? It says grace, exactly. God, we are recipients of God's amazing grace in Jesus. And actually, we can do all those things, even if we don't have that much time, even if we're a bit not that well, we can do all those things because we know what it's like to have received that grace. And we're going to think a little bit more about that after we've had our next song and our next reading. But that grace is a fragrance. So we're going to sing that we may share that fragrance. May the fragrance of Jesus. So please stand to sing number 504. Your yellow sheets. When you think about the different ways of showing love, that is a really great example of all the different ways Jesus showed love. And it's important to just remind ourselves that actually this was the day before Jesus was crucified. Now, I'm not sure if you knew that you were going to be dead the next day, if you knew you were going to crucify, I'm not sure you would spend it with lots of people. I think if I knew something awful was going to happen to me, I might try and hide myself away. But Jesus actually set this up knowing that this was an important way of showing his love and showing love to others. So, on the day before his crucifixion, He, again, gives the gift of hospitality. We read there he already knew when the disciples asked him what he wanted to do for Passover, he'd already planned it. He must have somehow organized with this man carrying the water bottle to actually use his house and use his room. He'd already organized things. He was hosting a meal. We read an awful lot in the Bible, don't we, about Jesus going to other people's houses. And this is one of the few where actually he was the host, where he was inviting people to come and be with him. And of course he came, he is the host, giving them this meal together. And of course it was a real act of kindness. And we need to just remember who he was hosting it for. It was the disciples. It was Peter who would later go on to deny him. It was Judas who he knew would betray him. It was all those disciples who would be running away the next day. And yet Jesus wanted to host this meal for them. And then he goes on with that affirming touch. Now, we haven't got it here, but in the John passage of that, what did he do when they came for that Passover meal? He took his outer garment off, knelt down and washed their feet. That affirming touch, that loving touch of someone who is willing to do a job that isn't that pleasant. Jesus leaning back with his disciples, washing their feet. And then he goes on with that caring conversations, those words that we repeat every time we have communion that have been repeated for over 2,000 years. Verse 19, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 20, "This cup that is poured out for you is like the new covenant in my blood." Those caring words, that time spent with his disciples. And then he does spend enough time with them. He tells them that he's been really looking forward to it. If you look at verse, let me just find where, verse 15, he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before he supped." He wanted to spend time with them, and he told them so. And I think that's really important. Of that time, little time he had before his death, he spent it with other people, with his disciples. And of course, we know that this wasn't just one meal prepared before Jesus died. It was an enactment, a sacrament of God's love. And that's why we remember it every time we have communion. Going back to the 1 Peter passage, in verse 10, it reminds us to be faithful stewards of God's grace. We've received this amazing grace. And we need to pass it on to others. That's how we can learn to love each other deeply. Going back to that command, when everything's going wrong, what does Peter say? Love each other deeply. And that's how we can do it, by remembering and by sharing in that act of love that Jesus shows. Now, on the back of your, on the other side of your, I have put the verse from Ephesians 2, verse 10. And that just reminds us that actually each one of us are God's handiwork, that we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, these works could be all sorts of things. They could be big things, they could be standing up in front of you all here, or they could be small things, but they are all, each of us is God's workmanship, different from each other, but all there to share God's love with others. So in a minute, we're just going to have a moment's quiet, and in your mind, I'm going to read it and leave a little pause where I've put all those dots. And in your mind, I'd like you to say your name in your head. So just to remind you that actually you, us, each one of us, is God's workmanship. And then, if we could, I'll read it through once like that, and then we'll read it through together, all of us, and we will just say, for I am God's workmanship. So just to remind us again. Okay, so let's just pray. For is God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for them to do. Let's say together. For I am God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And Lord God, we thank you that each one of us is precious and loved for you. We thank you that you've created each one of us to do something special for you. And we pray that in knowing your love and your grace in our lives, that we might share that grace with others. Amen. As individuals, we're created to do that work, but we're also created to do that work as